What's up, y'all? It's your man's Jam here, back with a jam session on the Jam Pod. Episode 8 is in full effect, and I have a special guest with me. So let's go tap in and nerd out together. Good morning, sir. How you doing today?
Pretty good, pretty good.
Well, it's a pleasure to meet you.
I'm loving this script that you got rocking on the names. It looks really good.
Oh, thank you. I actually made the font myself.
I was like, I don't recognize this font.
It took me like 4 days.
What are they? Is it like silencers? Guns and silencers? I don't know, man.
No, I just started to do like little indentions on each word.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow, that's cool.
Thank you. Well, it's a pleasure to meet you, sir. I'm glad to have you on the podcast with me today for episode 8 and talk about a lot of your stuff, including what we're here to talk about, Area 51 Studios.
Oh, well, thank you. Yes. Yeah, thanks for having me on, Jam.
Yes, sir.
It's a nice morning here.
Yeah. Well, it's afternoon for me over here. Before we get started, I'm assuming you prefer Ernie opposed to EJ.
Yeah. You know, that was like a little mistake. People called me that in college, right? Okay. But then when I was doing this book series, they were like, you know, there's a lot of initials out there, J.K. Rowling, George R.R. Martin. I mean, like, do you have any initials? I'm like, they did call me EJ in college. It's like, let's go with EJ Altbacker. I'm like, okay, you know, so I have these, this whole middle grade series with EJ Altbacker. And I'm like, that's just confusing people. I should just keep everything the same. So there it is. From now on, everything's Ernie.
Yeah. Well, good to know. I also have had that issue myself. I was going by so many different things, and then I was just like, my initials is Jam. So I was like, I'll just streamline everything, make it simple. But Emmy nominated writer here with me today, Ernie Altbacker. He has written for so many things that I have grown up watching. I mean, 90s Spider-Man cartoon. You've done Ben 10, 8, Ultimate Alien. But most famously, a lot of the DC animated universe movies like Justice League, Dark Apocalypse War, and the Teen Titans Judas Contract. I mean, extensive stuff. Like, do you have particularly something that you like a favorite out of everything that you've worked on in your career?
You know, I guess I do. Each one of these like big DC superhero features, they're all fun. There's ones that I wrote that was just me on a solo credit, so those I feel a little bit more ownership or affinity for, but I still just love all of even the ones, the co-writing ones are also fantastic because I got to write it with someone that I liked or in some cases admired, you know, with Green Lantern, Beware My Power. I wrote it with my first boss. First guy to ever give me a paying job was for the Spider-Man cartoon of the 90s, wow. John Semper. And then I got to write Green Lantern, Beware My Power with him, like years and years later. But I guess my, you know, the two that pop up in my mind first, if it's like gun to your head, you got to pick Batman Hush and then and Justice League Dark. Both of the Justice League Darks I really like a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they were really fun. I love Constantine. I just love writing him. You know, Bastard with a Heart of Gold. For some reason, maybe I'm like Constantine. Bastard with hopefully a good heart, you know, no superpowers, unfortunately.
I'm assuming that is like one of your favorite like DC characters, especially with him being your like profile picture or avatar on X Twitter and everything.
Yes. Yeah. He is.
Yeah. It's funny that you might bring that up. I have a buddy. He actually wanted me to ask you from a separate channel I do with him, but he wanted me to ask you if there's any stories for Constantine specifically, like for that, like that specific Constantine for the future. But I wanted to take it a step further and ask if you had any plans for any of those characters within that universe moving forward.
Man, I have this Constantine story that I am itching to do. It would be like a 5 or 6 issue comic, but I can't crack into the DC Comics world. You know, they're busy. I don't have the right contacts, whatever. And it's getting to the point where I'm like, this story is just too good. I'm just going to have to modify it and make it my own characters and just do it anyway, because it would be a shame if it wasn't done. But oh my God, it would be so great. I don't want to talk about it, but yeah. But there is, okay, one that I think they should adapt is that a Hellblazer kind of run with the Butcher of Hell, where like one of the royals has actually been like taken over by a demon, and it gets grisly. There is like child sacrifice or in there. So that's why I think they would never do it, or they would do it in such a way that they would have to tone it down so much it wouldn't be that story anymore. So I hope they wait until they're okay with murdering a bunch of children for the story.
Yeah. I mean, even on like the Black Label imprint, you don't think that they would maybe potentially?
I mean, for an animated movie?
A movie.
I'm thinking for the. Oh yeah, no, no. They'll do. I mean, obviously, it's been done in a comic, right? But they do great stuff there. I'm saying to animate it and make it a movie.
Okay,
they don't usually go like this. Would be a hard R. In fact, you might have to really work to keep it at a hard R.
Okay. Okay.
This would be one where you would have to put a warning on it, like no kids should not.
Yeah,
like 14-year-olds definitely, 16-year-olds should not watch this. This is
okay, bad. Okay, okay.
Yeah,
got you. Okay, all right. So before we get started, I do want to give my respects and homage to my good friends over at Agents of Fandom. First and foremost, Fat Thor, who got us connected to be able to record here today and talk about all of the great things that we're going to be able to talk about. So shout out to Fat Thor.
Seems funny calling him that. In this day and age, you don't get any flack. You're body shaming yourself. It seems like a very happy and even killed with a guy though. So I don't think he minds, but
yeah,
sometimes it seems like the internet minds, whether you mind or not.
100%. 100%. It's funny that you say that. I actually call him Thor like regularly, but when I'm announcing him or talking about, his brand and everything, I try to say Fat Thor, but I agree. When I first started talking to him, I'm like, I feel awkward just calling you Fat Thor. So it's funny that you bring that up. But Agents of Fandom over there, they do a really fun segment on every episode, and they call it What Are You Watching? But since we're here to talk about your book today, I actually would like to switch it up and ask you, what are you reading? If there's anything that you're reading, novels, comics, anything that you want to talk about.
I am reading E.L. Or L.E. Mondesit series. It's an older series that I hadn't read before, called the Spell Song series, and I think there's like 4 or 5 books. It's about an opera soprano who gets sucked into a fantasy world where singing is how you do the spells, and so she's super powerful, but she doesn't know anything about the world. This is like kind of medieval world, and she's a fantastic writer, Mondesit. I don't know how to pronounce her name, but I've read 30 or 40 of her books. I think she's a she. But so that's what I'm reading right now. I'll tell you, I would be fine with the I'm watching. There is a series I recommend right now so heartily called Murderbot with Stellan Skarsgård.
Great. It's fantastic.
The only thing is, it's too friggin' short. 22 minutes. Come on. I want hour-long episodes. I want at least 45 minutes. I'm like, this is maddening that we only get 22 minutes at, you know, every week. And then I don't know how many shows they did. So if I have to wait for 2 years for another 2 hours of programming, I'm going to be pissed, man. they should get on that right now.
No, seriously.
Churn that out like nickels, man, because I want to watch a lot of Murderbot.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's so good. I seen the trailer and then I was like looking it up. I seen it was based off of a book. And I don't know. I think that's also why they dropped 2 episodes the first week so that they can compensate for that only 22, you know, 30 minute. And but it's not enough. It's not enough. I'm with you.
Oh, it's over. You watched the like last one. I'm like, oh, Murderbot. Ah, it's over. Now I got to wait another week. It's so good.
It feels like the weekend, how Friday comes and then it's already Monday the next.
Absolutely. And then I'm waiting for the last episode of Mobland to drop.
Okay.
So I've been watching that too. I love any Guy Ritchie stuff that with all those English actors, I'm like, yes, sign me up. I'm in.
Yeah. Okay. I want to get towards starting talking about Area 51 Studios. This reading this Kickstarter, man, it got me immediately. I was like, oh, this is awesome. So the comic is coming June 2nd, I believe.
This Monday. Yes.
Monday. Okay. All right. So by the time you guys see this, it should be out already. So make sure you go check that out. Talk to me a little bit about this process so far with the Kickstarter and everything like that.
Well, you know, this was, so I got to talk, I'm not making it by myself. All the art's being done by Josh White, and he's awesome. I met him at this thing called the Comics Creator Panel that they have at San Diego Comic-Con and WonderCon. I met him at San Diego a couple of years ago, and I said, yeah, I'm looking for someone. You know, he owns a graphic design place. He's done a lot of art, a lot of fan art, some book art, but he wasn't really into the comic scene, always wanted to, but his stuff was fantastic. So I was like, you know, why don't we kind of try to hook up? And here's a couple of my ideas. Do any of these strike you? And I had this novella that I had written a long time ago. And he's like, oh, God, I love this. Because the novella itself is kind of a love letter to all of the fantasy and sci-fi books, comics, shows, movies that I kind of inspired me. And so the names of planets and aliens are usually mixed up letters of authors or a character that I like, or, you know, and I just like, I just take stuff too, you know, I just use it. Like my repairman uses a sonic screwdriver all the time. Right. You know, like, but as an homage, not to steal from any of those great creators. So at first we tried to do a comics proposal because I do work in the animation industry. And I was like, well, let's try and make it as a, you know, let me see if I can use the credits that I have to talk to some indie comic book companies. I didn't think it was going to be like a Marvel or a DC. I was like, not even an Image or whatever their lower, you know, funkier titles are.
Yeah.
I was going to these small places and it was, they usually do people that have done it before, right? It's like it's two guys who haven't done a comic before, even though I had done other stuff, you know, he's an artist that hasn't done things on a schedule. So they're kind of nervous. So we wasted kind of like a year on that. And then we were like, he's like, let's just do the Kickstarter. I will handle, because I am I use the computer. I can turn it on. I can use the word processing features, you know, but I am no wizard. And when it's like build a website, that I'm stymied. I'm like, here's money. Someone can do it. Right. But he's like, I will take care of all of that stuff. And wow. now that we're into it, and he's way backstopping it, I can fiddle around with it a little bit more. But so then we were just like, let's do it. Let's just freaking jump in. And so we did, and we're further along the process. We figured that the story from the novella would be, at first it was 6 issues, then I jammed it to 5, then it came down to be a 4, right? So it'll be like 110 pages total and about 20 pages of extras at the end of this, with about 24 on average. The first issue is a little shorter. It'll be 20 pages of story and 8 pages of extras, but we will do those. We'll try and do a 4-issue run that will come to a satisfying conclusion, but that this is a thing that can have a ton of stories. And I hope to kind of drag other comic book artists and writers and, you know, pay them something for them to branch off and kind of open up the world, kind of play in this sandbox,
okay,
to make it a bigger world. So, but I'm gonna have to set kind of the rules and stuff.
Right.
and Josh is great because he didn't know any better of like that other people. I mean, he knows that there's art inkers and letterers and pencilists, right? But he's like, well, I don't know who I could get to do that for free, so I'm going to just do everything myself.
Wow.
So that's another reason why I didn't want to do a Kickstarter, is I didn't want to be like the owner of a corporation, which is kind of what you have to be. You have to get all those people. And then, you know, someone's got to put up their bank account, right, to be mm-hmm. the corporation that's going to handle the money. And then you've got to do the fulfillment and send that stuff out. And if I didn't have a person that was as eager as Josh, who owns a graphic company, you know, that knew all this stuff, he's like, I know about shipping that crap up. You know, don't worry about it. Like, I've got you. You know, it's going to be, then it was like, no, you really got to do some of this stuff. like after he got me in, then he was like, no, you're going to have to do more than just write it. And I'm like, okay. I get it. We can't shunt everything onto Josh, but, I tried.
Oh man. I mean, speaking of Josh, you mentioned that I think the 20 illustration pages, is that a part of the story and like the art style will change, or is that like the 20 that's going to be separate from the book? It's the story itself.
So we've decided to add, since we're the new guys, and I've seen a lot of my friends or people that I know, I've gotten into some of the stories, and unfortunately it was like a 4 or a 6 issue run and they stopped after 2, right? Partnership dissolved or whatever. And you're like, bummer, that was a good story. I would have liked to see how it ended. In this case, I have the novella, so we've decided to add it as an add-on. So okay. You can buy issue 1, and I think the digitals are you know, the digital and the novella are both $5, the digital novella and the digital comic. So okay. If you're worried, you can read the entire story. But the cool thing is the story is a little bit deviated. We're going to run toward the same ending, but how they get there is different. So the novella is kind of different than the comic, which I think is kind of cool. Maybe at the end of this, we smash them together, because the wow. novella is not that much. It's like 100 pages or so, right? So maybe we put the 100 pages together with the graphic novel. Or, you know, the graphic novel after, or the novella after the graphic novel, and you get like this dual hardcover thing. I don't know. I'm
brainstorming
up with a really cool woman named Ellie Davis, and she owns an imprint, and we are kind of exploring that.
Okay.
So we'll have to see. It's all a big experiment. It's a big experiment for me to do this, right? For all of us, I guess.
Yeah. I know you said, I was in the Kickstarter, you mentioned that you've had this idea for so long. You first originally pitched it to your former agents, who laughed, and then you were like, but I can't just get this idea out of my head.
Yeah, so not in a good way. It wasn't a good way laughed. It was like, no, that's, nobody wants that idea. And in fact, one, like, the way it's less insulting is, you know, when they just go, that's a shitty idea, whatever. That's what everybody said to George Lucas when he was dragging around the early drafts of Star Wars. Okay, so that one isn't. But they go, and this they might be right on, is they don't want this idea from you. And I'm like, oh, you know, that makes a little bit of sense, right? If I was J.J. Abrams walking around with this idea, and I would show to, I wouldn't have to show it to more than two, maybe three people, and it would be a show or a movie, okay? Mm. But low budget or whatever, right? Because he's got the track record. He's known for big, expensive things. This is a big, expensive world. I guess I should say what it is. So Area 51 Studios says, yes, you have heard of Area 51. You think it's a secret military base. It's not. It's been around for thousands of years, and humanity has grown up around it. What it really is it is a studio lot where alien producers who do not have that much money come to shoot on the Earth because it's a cheap location where they can break shit, right?
Awesome.
So what, we didn't have the technology to see them. They've got the cloaking devices, you know, and you would get dizzy and turn away, right? And anytime you were walking toward it, right? And then we finally did, and what happened was basically the three alien corpses and the crashed spaceship that's found was actually from a student short film, and they got scared and they ran away and they left it. But their props are so good, it's like, oh, it looks like it's living tissue matter. You know, of course, we just put it into a cloner, right? The ship doesn't really fly, but it looks like it might fly. It's a prop. And so they had to think up a story to keep everybody away. And the aliens were like, hey, man, we've been here for a long while, so you can just let us continue doing what we're doing, or we can chop up the Earth and use it for sandbags for our other productions in a different galaxy. And wow. So, yeah. So Truman said, you know what? We're gonna classify it as a secret base now. And nobody will bother you. And there you go. That's what's Area 51. That's the actual story. Very few people know about it, but now yeah. You do.
Well, I was reading it on the Kickstarter. And then reading to the part where, like you said, your agents laughed. And now I thought it was like in a ha ha funny way. No, you're saying it was disrespectful. I just can't fathom that, because to me, this like seems like something that I would watch like on Adult Swim or something like that, right? Like, it just sounds so interesting to me.
Reading this idea was pre Adult Swim, you know? Like, I mean, was it? Yeah, either that or I hadn't done any of this stuff, so I couldn't even get a meeting at Adult Swim. I probably had done a couple of things, a couple of Ben 10s, a couple of Spideys, and an extreme Ghostbuster or two at that point. Like, my career took a while, like, and then it started ramping up. So done a lot of different things, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. When you pitched this, it was originally as a series, though, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. How was that, like, transition creatively from a series to, like, actually, a novella and a comic book?
I'm sorry. No, the first iteration of this was a screenplay, a low-budget screenplay, because I figured low-budget aliens, and so I just would have said that everything was invisible. That's why I have the invisible cameras are always around, right? Oh,
this way
I can have the human race. So my producer, Zephyril Boone, he basically beams out reality programming of the dumb earthlings, right? Look at the dumb earthlings fighting, right? He's won awards for such Zephyril Boone productions like The Black Plague and The Crusades and The Battle of Midway, right? He just films it and goes, what? Like, this is great action, right? But now he's after a couple of flops, he's down to making the very grandly titled The Human Race, and it's five people in a trailer in the desert, right? And they ask him, it's like, well, what's the show about? Nothing. He goes, nothing, just be. And the people are like, that sounds like a pretty crappy show. You know, like, so it turns out it's actually quite gripping because he does a few things that actually endanger the entire planet of Earth. It's a story that grows, you know, pretty giant and immense with universal implications.
Yeah.
So, but in a funny way, I guess it's kind of like, it's very Douglas Adamsy. The other people that see, you know, Josh and his work, he's like, this is like Men in Black, but the Hollywood version of Men in Black, right? It's not, you know, and then I always think that anything that you can jam some sort of weird Monty Python-esque humor in is always good. So I guess it's kind of those three things jammed up into a ball. So if you like that kind of stuff, I think you might like this.
Yeah, I'm glad that you brought those up. That's actually stuff I have in my notes. When I was reading the Kickstarter, I was like, I had to look some of this stuff up. I wasn't familiar with Douglas Adams or Monty Python. And now I have to make you happy, I actually added on my watch list The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. So that's on my watch list. And you also mentioned bringing back kind of full circle to Josh, right? The variant covers that you guys have, one being the Men in Black, and then the other being the 2001 A Space Odyssey. I am also not familiar with A Space Odyssey, so I added that onto my watch list as well.
Oh boy. Yeah. But, let's see. I would say, all right, you have to, if are you a reader or no?
Yeah, I like to read a lot.
You got to read the Douglas Adams. You got to read it. The movie is a point of contention among fans, but it definitely didn't get all of the book. You got to read that one. And Monty Python, if you haven't seen Monty Python and the Holy Grail, see that one. It's one of the most quoted movies of all time. Now, 2001 Space Odyssey, I love it. But the first couple of times, the first time you watch it, you just might be, this is boring as hell. You just have to remember that it's 1968. These special effects, the previous 2 years, you could still see a string on the saucer in a lot of space movies, right? This one, they were asking NASA people, what would it be like? And so when he is in this flyer, the docking sequence is one of the most beautiful things that I think has ever been filmed in this movie. But it encompasses so much. There's a 20-minute sequence in front about the apes that you may or may not enjoy. All I'm saying is you got to get, just watch the entire thing. But you might, a lot of people have stopped. what is this? But Kubrick, that just frame by frame with the music, how he puts stuff together is amazing. So there you go.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd start with that one though. Usually start with Paths.
I watched the trailer and it was it was like pretty awesome. I'm not gonna lie to you, just watching the trailer on YouTube. And then I was gonna watch it before we talked, so we could talk a little bit about it. But I was like, it's 2.5 hours. I was like, yeah, I gotta sit with this. Like, I need to actually sit with this and digest it.
That was, and people were, you know, now it's routine.
Yeah.
That this was before. I mean, movies usually 1 hour and 45, 1 hour 40, and you would have the 15 to 20 minutes trailers, and you were out in 2 hours. That was it.
Mm-hmm.
When that was like 2 hours and 30 minutes, people, the theater owners lost their minds. They're like, we're losing the show. You know, like some people would only play it at midnight. Like, what the hell is this? Yeah, there was a lot of dropping acid and going to watch 2001. Not by me. That's like that predates me. It's the, you know, you'd have to be like, dude, whoever was 20 in 1968 and interested in film, they would not miss a Kubrick movie. and they would go and they're like, well, no, we might need some weed for this before we go, because it's a tester. But the space sequence is, you know, it's one of those at the end where it's open to a lot of interpretation. I do kind of take that in this. Once this ends, it will be open for a lot of interpretation.
Okay. And I'm assuming that follows with like what you were saying. You want to open this up, like let the sandbox be open and let other people play in it, but set some ground rules. Is that kind of one of the reasons as well?
Well, I'd want to set out the main characters and stuff and the tone, you know, but no, there's going to be the weird and wonderful world of Area 51 Studios is whoever has an idea for an alien movie, you know, tell me what that is. Tell me what the drama is. And so all of the weird stories, I don't want to get into like too reality based, you know, I don't want to get into the Harvey Weinstein of it. I want more the stupidity of the Tropic Thunder of making a movie.
I got you.
Rather than the Harvey Weinstein awfulness of making the movie, you know? So I want this to have that sort of weird and wacky and wonderful tone. Okay. So I'm sure that people might start with, I'm writing this just to write in the worst pitch meeting I've ever had. And, you know, I want to portray it in this comic, you know, and I'm like, man, as long as you don't use the names, I'm good.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
It was like he ate like fried chicken with his hands while he was listening to the pitch, chomping, you know, stuff like that, where you're like, oh man, there's something on his face and I got to continue with this pitch, like, and it's something large and greasy sliding down his face, I can't stop looking at it. Oh, you know, like, it's hard. It's hard when that happens.
Yeah, that's awesome. I can't wait to read this, to be quite honest. And I'm a big variant covers person. I do like variant covers, so I wanted to ask you, with that, did you guys have any other concepts or ideas for variant covers, or like that you might do later that you can't spoil now? Or
yes, well, obviously, you know, since this thing is kind of a love letter, these were the two that we picked first. He's a big Men in Black person. He's like, no, I want that. And then I was like, well, I'd like this scene from the 2001. You know, and I just thought it was so great because it's a great scene where he's, you know, in the real movie, he's got his hand on the wall and he's walking with his air conditioner, right? That's the thing that kind of circulates, so you're not cooking to death in your suit, right, in space, and instead, it's my producer with his cell phone, right? I just thought, oh, that tickles me. But yeah, we had like 6 or 8 ideas. Thing is, I think he's only, we might take that off his plate. We might hire other cover artists and pay them for their interpretation and get some really funky ones. Like, I would definitely like a really anime one.
Ooh.
Right? So maybe we do an anime-y one in some sort of sci-fi, you know, like is anime, and it could be a different Star Wars or an anime alien, you know? Aliens definitely coming up. A scene from that, you know, would be one of my variant covers. And I mean, who knows? I will definitely take we'll take requests too. But yeah, he's doing so much. I'm like, we don't want you to do everything.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I bet you he will do one variant cover, right? So we'll probably get at least one or two people. We might have three from here on out.
Okay,
different artists, and Josh gets to do one. It's one that we really want to do. That's a Star Wars. I mean, obviously everybody's going to do it, but we're gonna put a little spin on it. I think that'll be a fun one.
Yeah, I mean, just off of what you're saying alone, I'm a big anime fan. You probably might be able to see some of my pins or my manga up here. I'm a very big anime fan, so that just already caught me. But this past, I want to say, I don't know if it was summer or maybe fall time, I just binge watched all of the Alien movies so I can watch the newest one that was in theaters. Uh-huh. And so I really enjoyed them. I kind of knew about Alien versus Predator already because I was younger when that came out. And so I got to see that like in theaters and stuff, but, or at home, I should say. But watching the new Aliens was awesome. Like, so I'm also reading the Jonathan Hickman run, the Avengers versus Aliens over by Marvel. So just to hear that is really a funky idea too. I think that's really cool. I don't know. I like really, and to me, this was like when I was reading again, the comic, Area 51 Studios, your Kickstarter, it just caught me immediately. I was like, I like sci-fi stuff, and the idea of Area 51 being a like movie or television studio is just insane to me. It caught me immediately. So I really am appreciative that you got to come, you know, and talk about this today with me. I do have one question before I let you head out, because I don't want to take too much of your time. I know you said you had to leave today, no. So I want to give you some time back. But my question is kind of like a curveball one. As a pillar of like the DC animated universe, right? Or these movies, I would say, I mean, a lot of your work I grew up like the last 10 years watching.
I ruin your childhood?
No, not at all. I don't know. That's a whole different side of the internet.
There's a couple in there where I'm a childhood ruiner, like Injustice and, Batman Hush, something some people think I ruined.
I watched Batman Hush before I read the comic, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so then going to read the comic, I was like, man, I like the movie.
Oh, don't say that.
They're going to ridicule me online, too. It's okay.
Yeah. About the only one I don't get the childhood ruiner for is Teen Titans, The Judas Contract. That one was pretty good. The only thing that we had to cut out of that really, there was a lot of changes, but nobody notices that. But we didn't get to do the origin of Deathstroke because we just didn't have enough time. I mean, it's a really cool issue, but we didn't have enough time. And Justice League Dark is kind of mostly an original story, the original one. So, I mean, Apocalypse War, you could say it's kind of the Dark Side War, but it doesn't have a lot. We weren't able to get like Supergirl in there, and there wasn't enough time before they kind of shut that part down, unfortunately.
Okay.
I think it's a great 16 movie. Well, anyway, okay. You were going to ask a question. I just started rambling.
No, I mean, take your time. No, I don't want to rush you at all. So I'm with it. But my question was, honestly, like, are you being a pillar of this animated universe, like in these movies, like, are you excited about the DCU coming with like Superman and James Gunn's like whole universe stuff?
Oh, heck yeah. I can't wait for it. I want to see what he's done. The clips and everything I've seen so far, I've really liked. But, you know, there are times where you see a great trailer and then the movie disappoints.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's going to be the case. James Gunn's too good at handling characters. I mean, when you think about that second Suicide Squad, and even the minor characters in the front of it that got mowed down, like they were really well drawn out for the 15, 20 minutes they were on the screen, you know? 100%. And I mean, you know, obviously he took Guardians of the Galaxy, which was just an unnoticed little thing, and turned it into a giant mega billion-dollar property. So I'm not betting against him. I think everything's going to be great. I love the Creature Commandos. Same. That was really fun. Again, every single character, you're like, oh, that's great. Oh, that's great. And then sometimes they die, sometimes they don't. I'm like, no, not G.I. Robot. And I'm like, yes, he's back. He can't be dead.
Yeah, he's my favorite character in that show.
Yeah, not the fish girl. Is she dead? Oh, I don't know. Did she have some eggs? Like, you never can tell. They can come back, right? They can. They've got the labs. They've got the bio labs. But yeah, so I'm psyched for that. Can't wait for the Peacemaker season 2. Gosh, it seems like it's been too long, but we're close now, right? We're close.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. It does feel like it's been a while. Everything, and especially with him, you know, transitioning now into the co-chair. So I'm glad. I'm excited. And I've seen that it's supposed to have like some ties directly into like after Superman and stuff like that. So right. I'm excited about the whole DCU.
Well, Nathan Fillion for with Guy Gardner. God, even that one trailer with like, yeah, you said that thing about your butt and then I sucked. He was like, ha ha, you know, that one laugh. And I'm like, boy, that's so Guy Gardner.
Yeah. I know a lot of people didn't like that. I love that casting. It's fun to me. Like, I really enjoy it.
That he kept the 60s bowl cut, or yeah, was that from the 60s or 70s? It's weird. I wonder if there's going to be, I bet you there will be some sort of comment of why
the bowl cut.
Yeah.
Theories. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, if you're a superhero, you'd be hearing some comments.
Yeah.
and it's not like you've been raised in a test tube. You've watched movies and you've seen people that are cool and what their haircuts look like. So for you to go, you know what, I'm going with the old bowl cut that I could only afford when I was 6 years old, because it's very easy. It's easy to keep clean. I don't know. Yeah. I want an explanation. I want a James Gunn explanation. I think it'll be fun.
Yeah. Now you got me thinking. I'm wondering if it's because he works with like with a Hawk Girl, if they work for I'm blanking here. Max?
Oh, yeah. Max Steel?
Is it or, Max Steel?
The corporation?
The corporation, yeah. Yeah, I'm wondering if that's why he has the bulk.
Well, why? Because, like, his hair would get sucked into a machine or something? You could keep it at a regular, you know,
yeah.
I don't know, George Clooney in the Peacemaker length, yeah. And it would look okay.
They're gonna use the Incredibles explanation. No cape, you don't want to get sucked into.
It could be. Maybe he was traumatized by a hero getting sucked in by his hair or something. You know.
Yeah. That's funny. Honestly, that. Oh man. Like I said, I don't want to take too much of your time. That was really my last question I have for you. Just to see, like, again, as a pillar, what excites you from what's coming from DC. We got to let the folks know where to find you, your work, and Area 51 Studios. Got to let them know.
Ah, okay. Well, simple. If you're on Kickstarter, you could search for Area 51 Studios or Ernie Altbacker. On social media, I am Ernie Altbacker on X, Twitter, Facebook. Oh, Jesus. Instagram and LinkedIn. Awesome. So, and any of those four. And yeah, I know that there's new ones and Blue Sky, and I'm just not going to do it anymore. That's it. You're going to have to come back to some of those old ones to find me. I mean, like somewhere I got a Tumblr account that I don't think I've locked out of. But I just don't want more accounts to post to.
Listen, you're not the only one. I am like, I do this. And I'm like a Blue Sky that I barely do TikTok. I'm like, I'm 32. I don't want any more socials at this point in my life.
I like the way they just did Threads.
Yeah.
And it's just there. And it just reposts the stuff that I put on like Facebook or Instagram. I'm like, great.
Yeah.
I don't have to be bothered.
Streamlined. But,
yeah, you know, like I'm going to have to do that thing where to learn how it posts on each of them. But, you know, then the whatever, the Instagram thing's more of a square and the other ones are. Yeah.
Then you have to resize and everything.
Yeah, come on. I'm old. I can't do it. I can't do it. that's for the young. I think that having a Kickstarter, I mean, we are going to have a standing website for Area51Comic.com.
Okay.
And that is where you can find, you know, all of that stuff, all of the new stuff that we'll be writing and between Kickstarters, I guess, if you needed to get something. We're hoping to get some weird, you know, like in the comic, we're gonna do like advertising, like alien advertising that we hope is gonna be like stickers, patches, or shirts by issue 3 and 4 that you would actually like care. Like it's there's a soda called Mouth Drink that just tickles us, so we're gonna make Mouth Drink T-shirts.
Okay,
and it'll just be like really random stuff. So,
cool.
I think the oddballs. I'm calling all oddballs for this thing. It'll be all over my socials for the month of June while we're doing the Kickstarter for issue 1, of course. So, if you want to get on a list, I'd love it if you'd follow me, and then you'll hear any news, including some other DC animated news.
Wow.
I think there's going to be an announcement of a long-awaited project that I worked on coming during Comic-Con. So I can't, you know, I don't want to say anything right now, but probably the people that have dug around on the internet, it's been mentioned before. So
okay,
all right. But yeah, I'm happy. I can't wait to see some of that stuff and other stuff that I haven't written, because as big of a fan as I am, even though if I didn't work in this industry, I would still be a huge fan, you know, probably be doing what you're doing.
Yeah. You know? That's why I do this.
Yeah. If I could talk about it with a bunch of people, like-minded people, all day, and somehow that would pay the bills, I'd be like, oh my God, yes. But I lack the technical ability to get, I'm sure you're going to get this thing down and it's going to be on all these like different streams and platforms and shit. It's like, I have no idea how that works. So damn good luck, man. Good luck.
Thank you.
A lot of people listen and watch this.
Thank you. That really means a lot. You are like my first like actual person in the industry I have ever interviewed. It's usually just like friends or family that come on and want to hang out and stuff, or people like my friend Fat Thor, you know. So I'm really just appreciative that you came on and talked with me.
You're just starting out. This is one of the early shows.
This is episode 8, and then I'm gonna also put it also on our bigger platform, which is what I do with my buddy, the Alternate Timeline, where we have a like he has a way bigger platform, to say the least, and there's more people that kind of dive into this from like Agents of Fandom or other podcasts that he's networked you know, through. So this is like really one of my first gigs going, you know what I mean? If that makes sense. Like,
no, that's really good. And you know what? Well, I'll just give you a tip. I mean, and I didn't know it either. I was talking to Jeremy Adams, who's a comic book writer that you might have heard of, right? And yeah, he's awesome. And I was like, I don't know how, if I was going to do this Kickstarter, I would need to like advertise and get on podcasts. Like, man, podcasts, they would love content. All you got to do is call them up. I'm like, because I get interviewed a lot when one of these movies drops, but it's usually set up through Warner Brothers. Like, no, you can just do it. And so I didn't know that you guys needed content, right? And which I kind of should have. And what you're not getting is people like me like to talk. You should be sending out emails to all of the people that you see on a written by going, would you be on my show? And those people will say a surprising amount of yes. Like, no, you're not going to get like J.J. Abrams, but you'll get people that have done a ton of stuff, you know, like great people in the industry, in the cartoon industry, and who have written the cartoons that you
like yourself.
People will pop in. Yes. Like myself, it just hurts nothing to ask. It never hurts to ask, you know, to all you podcasters out there. That's what I would say. And
yes, sir.
So, yeah. So hopefully, and I mean, another thing, I did this show, The Green Lantern, the animated series, right? And I was on a show called Hall of Justice with Seth Everett. And he's got a pretty big audience now. But he was like, I really respected Giancarlo Volpe, who was the supervising artist on Green Lantern, the animated series, because he came on my show and he was like the second or third guest ever. And he said yes. And he was in the middle of doing a show, which was like acclaimed at that time when we were putting it out there. People were like, this is a Bruce Timm show. This is giant. And he came on there. Well, that was show three. He's like over 500 or something now and doing well. So that could be you. I think that's going to be you, Jam.
All right. Man, thank you.
I think you're going to be that guy. We're going to be like on the 800th show, I got to be the guest. Okay. Yeah. Well, if I'm still alive.
Well, I would send the invitation back. I would love to have you back when we're finished with your comic. I mean, I would love to invite you back. You have the open invitation anytime you would like.
Ah, all right. Thanks. I'll do that one. I'll do the one with your friend for issue two, and we'll go back and forth.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. 100%.
So three and four. I love it. Just hit me up. You'll be able, if you're following what's going on, you'll see when the Kickstarter for issue two, like the preview page opens. That's the time to hit me up.
Got it.
All right.
Well, Ernie, it's been a pleasure, sir. Thank you so much. Thank you for the advice. And just once again, thank you for coming on the show, man. It was a pleasure to talk with you.
Oh, thank you very much. Thanks for having me and have a great Saturday.
Yeah, you as well. You as well. I know you got to get running here, so I want to give you some time back. You have a great one. All right.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Ernie Outbacker for episode 8 of the Jam Pod. I mean, you guys, I think we had a great time. I know I did. It seems like he did as well. I appreciate you guys for always tapping in with me. As I said at the beginning, if you love the pod, make sure you give us a like, subscribe, write down a nice comment, because that also helps the algorithm. Do whatever you got to do. But as you see here, we want to have more guests on. We want to have a brighter future. So tap in with your man Jam here on the Jam Pod. Much love, and I will see you guys next time. Peace.